Are you ready? Glory. Don't you just love the way Jesus teaches? And by the Holy Spirit, He always uses something we can understand with our natural mind. Like your righteousness is as filthy rags. You go, what's He saying? So all the man's righteousness is filthy rags. So you think, oh, He's made this comparison. I can understand it, see. He said, a greater than Solomon is here. Because when a man lights a candle and takes it into a dark room, it's not to be hid under a bushel. And what made him greater than Solomon is the same way that candle lit the dark room. Your new nature has lit your spirit. And that's what He gave you that was greater than Solomon. So there's always a comparison that He uses to teach. He taught me to write like that. The Holy Ghost did. To write like that. And that's why I use examples like goldfish that adopts a piranha. It tries to make him be nice. He keeps eating his friends, you know. Anyway. Can't beat a new nature into something that doesn't have one. Anyway, so He taught me to write like that. To write when your intellect and your discernment is grabbing to understand the revelation. Right there at that point, you're supposed to switch and give them something to understand it with. Are you ready? Hallelujah. We'll pick this up where we left off. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 12th verse. Hallelujah. Before we take this a step further, because it's such new material, we're going to pass in review just briefly one more time, establishing spiritual things to spiritual. As we take this a step further, beginning with the 12th verse, follow me very, very, very closely. Hallelujah. Now we receive not the spirit that's of this world, that unregenerated human spirit we inherited from the first man, Adam. That's not the one we have now. But the Spirit, which is of God, little s, born again human spirit. We receive not the Spirit from the first man, Adam, that death he had, but we receive that new nature and that life from the second man, Adam, which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So now that we've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light and His dear Son, we did not come into the kingdom knowing everything. But we came into the kingdom of God with a capacity through the new nature to be taught and an ability to understand the things of God. For this reason, He sent the third person of the Godhead, that great teacher, to step down in us, who has a nature like your nature. And He sent Him to teach us and to guide us into all truth. And John 17 said, Thy word, it is truth. Well, in these next few verses, He reveals that teaching process by which the Holy Ghost comes to give you what no man can. Where the apostle, he leaves off apostling and the prophet, profiting. The teacher has taught, the exhorter has exhorted, the pastor has pastored. The evangelist has evangelized. The Holy Spirit has come to give you what no man can. So He's teaching in these verses not only where Paul got his revelation from, but how the Holy Spirit transfers that revelation from God to you. So when he said we don't have Adam's spirit anymore, but we have that born-again spirit, human spirit, that we can freely understand that we may know those things given to us of God. And then he makes reference to those things in the 13th verse, those things freely given to us, which things also we speak, or which things also we teach and preach. What? These things that have been freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Now notice the difference between the 12th and the 13th verse here. In the 12th verse he said, now we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, making reference to your born again human spirit. But when he made reference to the Holy Spirit as your teacher, he didn't call him the Spirit of God here. He put Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost teacheth, so that you would understand that he wasn't talking about your regenerated, born-again human spirit, that he was literally talking here in this verse about the third person of the Godhead who has come to be your teacher. So he says, what we've learned has not been from the wisdom of men, but the wisdom that taught us is straight from heaven. And this is who has taught it, he said, as the Holy Ghost teacheth. As the Holy Ghost teacheth. And how does he teach? As the Holy Ghost teacheth, by comparing spiritual to spiritual. Spiritual things to spiritual. You have two spirituals here. Well, that word comparing is your key. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual. In order to make a comparison, then what I'm comparing it to has to already have something resident in it, or no comparison can be made. Now, when you compare identical twins, you have on one twin what you need to compare with on the other twin. If the second party has nothing to compare what the first party has to with, then there is no comparison, and you do not need a word. You just say, as the Holy Ghost teaches spiritual things to us. But he didn't. He says he teaches comparing. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Comparing. Well, if these things are being taught to me by the Holy Spirit, if these things are being taught, then when I first come into the kingdom of God, I must have come into what he is comparing spiritual things with. I must have possessed it the moment I stepped out of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Or else, how could he even have began the teaching process? So there must be something I already possess for him to compare spiritual things with. Or else, where's the comparison being made?
Well, what is it that you possess?
A new nature. If you want to know how strong this is, you're not who you used to be. The old man has literally passed away, and a new man with a new nature has come into existence in the place of him. If you want to know how strong this is, you don't belong anymore to the same species. You're not a piranha anymore. You're a goldfish. You only have teeth for the devil. I only have teeth for you. Make no mistake, devil. I'm wise as a serpent, but I'm as harmless as a dove. The only teeth I have are for you. Well, the moment you come into the kingdom of God as a strapping youngster, the only thing you possessed is probably the new nature and the message that invoked you into salvation. That's about all you possess. But that's enough, because now you have what God needs to begin to compare spiritual things of God with that new nature part of you that can finally understand the things of God. For you no longer have the spirit of this world, that first man Adam, that you have that born again spirit that's from God, that you may know the things that are freely given to you of God. We're going on to this next verse. The 14th verse again is switching back to the unregenerated man, that spirit you received from the first man, Adam. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Because they are spiritually what? Discerned. That word is much stronger than knowledge or understood. I can understand mathematical formulas. I can understand that an ox, that where the stall has no ox in it, the stall is clean. I can understand that with my natural mind, but I can't discern what it means. I mean, I can, but I couldn't before I could. My natural mind understands that. But see, he was not talking about just your natural mind, as in you're born again and you're only looking at things through your natural mind. He's talking about the guy that's not received the new nature yet. He cannot know the things of God. Why? Because they're strictly understood, spiritually discerned, strictly, by that new nature. That's why a guy can be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues in short little bursts once or twice a month when provoked in church. Possibly. And still live his whole lifetime with the Holy Spirit taken hostage. No power, no victory, bad attitude defeated, a deteriorated mouth. He can live his whole life like that, never take advantage of that new nature and the ability of the Holy Spirit in him to cause him to understand spiritual things, because he will not yield himself over to God. Now the word discerned is much, 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 much stronger than just that word knowledge. Much stronger than just understanding. It means without this, you cannot understand it. In fact, that word discern is so strong, it's making reference to a nature change. Now, one more time, my friend, using natural examples. When Mama Goldfish adopted baby piranha, I must teach you how to build a goldfish nest. He can understand what she's saying and how to put the sticks where they belong and everything she's saying. He just doesn't understand the purpose for it. He doesn't understand what good it is. Nothing about it agrees with him. Well, then Mama Piranha comes home and runs Mama Goldfish off. So immediately Mama Piranha starts teaching him the ways of a piranha. And he says, now I understand. And she says, and now that cow's going to cross the river and this is what we're going to do. And he says, you don't have to tell me. He says, you don't have to say another word to me, Mama. I know what to do to that cow. Next thing you know, that cow's trying to get out of the river with hanging on his hind leg. Because he knows. How can he know? Because he can discern it. He may not even know how he knows. And he can discern it. He knows. Because he has that nature. He knows. You don't even have to teach him that he's supposed to kill. He knows. Well, this is the part of you that the Holy Ghost can compare spiritual things to. Now that you have the nature of God, you just know and you can understand what God wants you to know as the Holy Spirit begins this process of comparing these spiritual things of God to your spirit through the new nature that He has given to you.
Well, Brother Robertson, what is the medium of exchange here?
You know, money is a medium of exchange. I can convert land to little pieces of gold and now paper. I can convert money, land, into little pieces of paper and put it in a little box and then get it out later and convert it back into land because it is a medium of exchange. It is some way to take things that are worth something and store them in this medium and then convert it back to the land later. You can put the labor of 500 men in Brazil in a little envelope and send it overseas and open it up. And the medium of exchange will put those 500 and that power passed through a little envelope and got overseas and got 500 men busy for 6 months. And you passed it over in a little envelope. Well, is there a medium of exchange that can guarantee spiritual things to be discerned by my human spirit? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Is it the Word of God? The Word of God is some other man received this revelation and wrote it down on paper. It doesn't mean that you can understand it. It means that you have a capacity to understand it. But there's people that have the new nature that's memorized the whole Word of God. And if you was to ask them what some of the simplest revelations meant, they would not be able to tell you. So that is part of the information the Holy Spirit is handling. But as of yet, there has to be exchange from that Word and from the Holy Spirit to your spirit or directly from the Word to your spirit, however it gets in there. For you to have faith, it has to get in there. Faith is a product of your spirit. The Word of God is information for that faith. But the faith takes place in your spirit. I need to guarantee you some grace God covered. Is there something that He has done deliberately for me? Can I start out just with the new nature and spiritually dense with that capacity? Is there any way you can guarantee me that I will end up discerning and understanding spiritual things that produces faith and power and the fulfilling of your plan and the understandings of wisdom and the openings of every part of your Word? Is there something I can do as a medium of exchange that guarantees the transfer from spiritual things to spiritual? The understanding capacity that I have in my born-again spirit. Is there a guarantee? Yes. Yes. He gave you your hint right here in verse 13. These things of the Spirit, he says, we're speaking them. Which things also we speak. Not in the word that man's wisdom teacheth, because we couldn't get this from the world. Not the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Well, what kind of words then? But what kind of words taught? But which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And some kind of words he uses, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. For the natural man can't receive them because they're spiritually received and discerned. So it isn't in a language that man's wisdom teaches, but the language of wisdom the Holy Ghost teacheth. Somehow, through the medium of this language, he was able to transfer revelation, knowledge, and spiritual insight and wisdom to my human spirit. So what language are we talking about? It must be some kind of language that edifies a person. It must be some kind of language that builds them up even beyond their own understanding and edification in their faith. It must affect their understanding of the Word of God, because if a person does that, he's promised to build them up on their most holy faith. And we know faith really only comes one way, by hearing, and hearing by what God has said. So what language are we basically talking about as the medium of exchange? Could there possibly be somebody sitting in here that doesn't know what we're talking about? Covering old ground for a moment. The day you decide to just spend 1 hour a day, that supernatural language of tongues rolling out of your spirit. Just 1 hour. The day is the day you walk into the classroom of the Holy Spirit. And that fine-dressed gentleman at the chalkboard is none other than the Holy Spirit himself. And like any professor and student relationship, you do not automatically know what your professor knows. His knowledge must be transferred to you. The day is the day you walk into the classroom of the Holy Spirit. And you are about to know that fine-dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, who's none other than the Holy Spirit, is about to teach you what he knows. We're only 30 minutes in. Hello. What shall I mark off of my list? Failure. Can't stand it? It just gets too good. Just gets too good. Whew. Can't hardly stand it. Just gets too good. It's up to me. My life, success or failure, is not up to you. It's up to me. I'm glad I go here. Hallelujah! Glory. Well, if this medium of exchange is the supernatural language of the Holy Spirit, boy, where he can package all that wisdom and understanding and the glory of God up in that language, send it overseas to my spirit, and then let it out. Whew. Well, in that medium of exchange, that supernatural language, then he must contain something. And of course, these things that he's saying that we're understanding is the wisdom that was hid in a mystery. Now for this, we need to back up in the same chapter just for a moment. See, back up the sixth verse. Let's examine this for a moment. He says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world," earthly wisdom. He said, that comes to naught or nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, that kingdoms come and went. None of them knew this, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and of course that's in Isaiah 64, as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it ever entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him." Now, the heart that he was talking about here was the spiritually unregenerated heart, with the old nature which they had under the old covenant. It was impossible for the understanding of this mystery that Paul was teaching now, that we have a new nature, to enter into them who had an old nature. So he said, if the princes of this world, these kingdoms that come and went, if they would have understood what was in this mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they didn't understand it because it was hid in a mystery. But Paul's saying now, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which he's saying, this mystery used to be hid on the other side of spiritual death. But then you and I were born again. So now the wisdom that used to be in that mystery, we have went in there and we've got it. And we have brought it back out. Which wisdom we teach, not in the understanding of man's words or wisdom, but in the understanding the Holy Ghost has taught us by comparing the spiritual things to God, to that new nature that I have now that I have been born again. So when he said we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, that didn't mean they were standing up here teaching wisdom in a mystery that you can't understand, because it's a mystery that you can't understand it, and you can't, God can. What he's saying is this wisdom was one time hid in a mystery that couldn't be understood because of spiritual death. But now that the church has been born again, that wisdom that was once hid has now been made available, and he sent the Holy Ghost to teach that to you. So that's why he can say in these verses, he says, which things we teach, not in the words that man's wisdom teaches, our language, but in a language the Holy Ghost has made this transfer with, teaching spiritual in comparison things to spiritual. And this is why Paul said in this same book, the 14th chapter, haven't you guys caught on yet? He says, haven't you caught on yet? Don't you understand what I'm trying to say to you? I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. Responsible for salvaging the church and sliding her foundation back under her against Judaism and pagan worship. Where did he get his knowledge? At the age of 3, he was memorizing the Word of God. At the age of 3. 3. And then a Pharisee of Pharisees, counting zeal that this new doctrine that sprung up against the faith of our fathers. He was hailing Christians in a kangaroo court, putting them to death. That's why he said, I'm not meet to be called. one of his apostles. But one thing he's let me do, he said, he's let me become an example of suffering in the degree that the length I get to go in the hands of men to make sure that everybody hears this gospel. See? He said, I get to be that example. He said, I'm going to thank my God that I had that zeal with the faith of my fathers, and I have the same zeal in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That's because of his zeal. What he was saying is, I thank my God that I pray more in the supernatural language of tongues that encompasses the understandings of the mysteries of Christ than any man alive. Well, he proved it. He proved it when he withstood Peter face to face. When certain came from James, Judaizers, born again Jews, zealous of the law, when he stood Peter off face to face, because he had a dissimulation that when those that came from James, keeping certain feast days and the Sabbath, before they came, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when those came from James, he was caught up in the dissimulation. The Jews immediately separated themselves, Peter included. Well, he said, before that, Peter, you would eat with them. Well, he wasn't talking about our faith banquets we have when we raise money. You think the meal's free? Wait till you get there. He was talking about Peter was eating food that was not kosher. Before they came, he'd just lay into a hog leg. After they come, he would not eat the same things the Gentiles did. So Paul confronted him face to face in front of all of them. He says, if you by nature was a Jew and not a sinner, and didn't have the promise as these Gentiles, he says, and if you were saved by the law and then left the law and went to live after the manner of the Gentiles, then why have you left the Gentile to live after manner of the Jew? Because if the law could have saved you, then why did you leave it in the first place? He's saying, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness was by the law, then Jesus has died in vain. He was hell on wheels. Paul was something to contend with. So he made this statement and slipped the foundation under the known church, including withstanding the original apostles who walked with Jesus those 3.5 years. He said, I thank my God that I pray more in the supernatural language that encompasses the understandings of the mysteries of Christ than all of you. Can you take a hint? Well, Brother Rover said, yes, little one. Then these mysteries that we are teaching this wisdom out of, you mean you're telling me that those are the mysteries that I'm praying in the Holy Ghost? Yes, sir.
I'd like a little bit of proof.
Then you'd like to go over to the 14th chapter of the same book, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. First verse. Follow after charity, love in action, and desire spiritual gifts. No problem there. Follow after love in action. That's first. Desire spiritual gifts. No problem. But he says, but rather that you may prophesy. Well, he was talking about excelling to a place in the Corinthian church where the giftings you received was good for the edification of other people. So in teaching them to excel to a place where they edified others, he had to differentiate between tongues for interpretation, the simple gift of prophecy, and tongues for your own personal edification. Excelling to the place where tongues for interpretation would edify the body at whole. The gift of prophecy had edified the body of whole. But praying in tongues edifies yourself. So he had to differentiate between the two, and that's what he was doing here. In case you're thinking he was glorifying one gift above another, such as prophesying, or speaking with tongues, or workings of miracles, or gifts of healings, you're wrong. He was not. His teaching was to excel to a place that through the gifts using them, they would edify others than themselves. And then to do that, they needed to take advantage of this simple gift, this first one, until they were edified to where they could edify the body through the giftings that would come through it. See, he wasn't saying, oh, just forget praying in tongues and go for the gift of prophecy. He was saying that one was the result of the other. Now, notice, follow after love in action and desire spiritual gifts, rather that you may prophesy. Well, why is that, Paul? For he that speaketh or prayeth in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Who am I talking to? You're talking to God. Wait a minute. Who am I talking to? God. Am I talking to you? No. I'm talking to God. So if I'm talking to God, leave me alone. Why would you interrupt a conversation with him? Yet when we had all day prayer Saturday, that happened a lot. Well, so much for warring tongues. Who are you warring with? God? It is not the great, astounding forcefulness and authority of your vocal cords you add to that language as it passes through you makes the difference. He only needed one thing from you. He created this language in your human spirit because he had to borrow your authority. So in actuality, the 14th verse is, it's you that's praying. If I pray in the unknown tongue, he said, my spirit prayeth. My spirit. So he had to borrow your authority. Why? This language had to come from you. But the thoughts and the paragraphs and the chapters come from him. And they contain the mysteries. And they carry the plan of God for your personal life. So this whole language is being communicated back up to your Father as the Holy Ghost creates it in your spirit. So listen to me close. It's not how much authority you add through your emotions as this language passes through your mouth. That's doing no good. He already got the authority he needed just with your consent to pray. That's all he needed for you to let him pass it through you. That's all. You don't have to add anything to it. Well, I'm going to pray real strong and hard. You can go ahead. You're still going to say the same thing. Oh, and whenever the warring tongues people would come to spend the day with us in prayer, their war would last about 2 hours. And then they realized they had six more to go. Pretty soon they just laid down like the rest of us. In fact, they were barely using their vocal cords. So no question, but I say, does it matter? You're getting the same results. It's not what you add to it. He's already added that. Now it's what he's saying. It's the mind of Christ being transferred to your mind, your spiritual mind. Now it's what he's saying and what is authorized to be answered. You don't get smart by yourself. Ha, ha, ha. does he say here? My God, that second verse. For he that speaks in the unknown tongue speaks not unto men.
Who am I speaking to then?
But unto God. For no man understands him. Well, how come? Because he is not talking about the tongue for interpretation. That diversity of tongue, the body will understand, because somebody gets up and makes them understand it. The gift of prophecy, you understand that automatically the moment it comes out of your lips. But this one, no man understands him. Because you're not talking to any man. This one is for your own personal edification. This one's for you. This is the most unusual. It's kind of like carrots. You know, you don't see carrots used in everything. I mean, is it carrots on your hamburgers? No. Once in a while, you'll find them if you steam vegetables or something. And that, you know, that gives it a little color. But amongst the vegetables, carrots, they are the, just like praying in tongues, it's the least of the gifts, the nine gifts. Praying in tongues is the carrot of the vegetable. Now, if you want to get real healthy, you just juice a lot of them and drink about a half a gallon a day. Because of all things, that has the closest to what your body needs and most compatible, it's that lowly little gift of tongues. It's that carrot juice. Grind it up and drink it. Boy, you in business. You get the feeling so good. Not only can we not stand you, you can't stand yourself. All the other giftings, as you know, flow from God through you for the edification of others. Generally, word of wisdom, knowledge, most all of those in a public setting flow through you for others. Workings of miracles, gifts of healings, discerning of spirits, all the other 8 3/4 gifts flow through you. Basically for the edification of others. And there's 4 diversities of tongues. Tongues for personal edification, tongues for interpretation, a public assembly, tongues for the deep intercessional groanings of the Spirit, and tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. And out of those 4, there's only 1 that flows to you instead of through you for your own edification. And because of that, God has made you the steward of its operation. You're the captain of your own ship. You set your own destiny. You order your own path. He's made you the steward of how edified you want to be. Because through the Holy Spirit supplying the prayer for you, you order God into your life. In the purest vein possible. Purest vein. So this simple gift, the carrot, flows to me. And because it flows to me, He's made me the steward of its operation and therefore the steward of just how edified I want to be. Just how big a bite of God I want to take. And just how close I want to find His plan and walk in it. For if I pray in the unknown tongue, I'm speaking not unto men, but I'm talking to God. I'm talking to God. No man understands me, because it's not the tongue to be interpreted. Not by anybody else. And notice how he finishes this verse. Reading a whole verse again. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue or prayeth speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. It's not the tongue to be interpreted for a public assembly. How be it? Analytical word then. If the men around you don't understand it, and even you yourself are not understanding it, and God's the only one, then how be it? Please, Mr. Apostle Paul, straighten the confusion out. What good is the tongue? You say it edifies us, we don't understand it, and people around us does not. And how does it? Please, how does it? How be it? Analytical word. And in a couple of words here, he straightened everything out that he introduced in the second chapter. And we say we want to be free and will not do the things that set you free. You're about deceiving yourself. You're looking for freedom from somewhere else. Men are very limited. You may get something from them, you may not. But when you make your journey into God, there is no may not. Hallelujah. Your receiving at the hands of men is always contingent on where you're walking. But your receiving from the hand of God will take you from where you're walking to where you can get it. I can always have everything He's promised me because I know how to go get it. If nobody's teaching you that, you're wasting your time there.
They tell me good things.
Do they? When you uproot and move across the country for a church, Bible college is accepted because they know you're going to return. You uproot and move across the country for a church, first thing they do is check you out to see if you're in a cult. Oh, but it's okay. It's okay that suddenly you get an offer for $50,000 a year raise. All your sinner friends and carnal Christians will slap you on the back so often you can't hardly breathe. God, I'd move too. For what? For what? Something that ends in the natural. And when you breathe the last time, you and it gone. What'd you move for? And they slap you on the back. Who do you think's talking through them?
Oh, that's being in a cult.
Why? Because I want to give so much of my life to it. Don't order my path. You know, don't order my path for me. I'm going to look at yours. Don't tell me what's the end of my path unless you've been there. Don't tell me about praying in tongues unless you've been exercised thereby. Don't tell me this stuff doesn't work. So how does he conclude this? Whew. Last part of this. He said, no man understands him, how be it analytical word. In the Spirit. Now notice he puts a little S there. Because it's his human spirit that is being put into the Spirit.
Well, which spirit prays?
I'll just go to the 14th verse. In the Spirit, in his human spirit, this man is speaking mysteries. For the 14th verse says, for if I pray in this unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. You got the text right. Little s. It's literally my human spirit praying this prayer as it's being created within me by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Ghost compares spiritual things to spiritual, what's the medium? The supernatural language. Why? Because Paul said this wisdom was hid in a mystery, but a bunch of us that were born again, us apostles, we went in there and got it out. Which things we're teaching you now, not in the language that man's wisdom taught us, but in the language the Holy Ghost taught us, comparing spiritual to spiritual. How did the Holy Ghost get the wisdom that was in God into Paul? How be it in the Spirit, he said here. In the Spirit we speak. This man that's doing the prayer. No respecter of persons. In the Spirit, in this man's human spirit, he is speaking mysteries. Which mysteries? The ones that were hid in God on the other side of spiritual death before the foundations of the world, but now is made available to you and I that can understand them through the new nature. Now the Holy Ghost has come to guide you into all truth. How is it that we were so ignorant that we could not see that the simple gift of praying in tongues is a revelation gift that ensures you the wisdom, the understanding of the mystery of Christ in you, to you, and through you, the hope of glory. For the men leave off. He comes to compare spiritual to spiritual. He has come with a commission. He's not a man that he can lie to guide you into all truth. He is so single-minded and focused on his mission, he will not even speak of himself. He is only commissioned to glorify Jesus, to reveal him in you. The mystery of Christ in you, your hope of glory. Going back to the second chapter makes you wonder what's in the Word. If you wouldn't leave the chapters out in between. Going back, 14th verse where we left off, 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 14th verse. But the natural man, he can't receive these things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He can't even know them because they're spiritually understood. But he that's spiritual judgeth all things. Why? Because he wasn't taught from the wisdom of men, but in the language the Holy Ghost taught, whether through the apostles or through the Holy Spirit himself, they understood it. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? If that's what you're being taught, the mind of the Lord, who's qualified to judge it? That you might instruct him first and call him wrong. But he says, but we have as part of our standard equipment the mind of Christ. My born-again spirit has a mind that can understand revelation knowledge. He goes on to say in the third chapter, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babies in Christ. I've already fed you with milk and not with meat, for up until this time you're not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. So in God's standards, this whole book of 1 Corinthians is a book of milk to babies. So if you can't understand it, then you've got some growing to do. Neither yet now are you able. For are you not carnal? Well, what qualifies me to be carnal? Well, whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? Walk as men who have not been regenerated yet? You stop somebody outside the church and tell them off, and that's your parking place. I'm mad at you and you're mad at me. Hello, Milky. For while one saith, now notice this, he picks some pretty good role models. For one saith, I am of Paul. Well, another one says, I am of Apollos. He says, are you not carnal? Now in the true light of things, understand this. This is what he said. Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? We're just ministers by whom you believed. Paul gave you a foundation. Apollos has come and helped teach you. even as the Lord gave to every man our gifting. I'm just a minister. I planted you. I got you, Father, I've born you again. Apollos come along and watered your spirit. But who is it? It's not a man that can give the increase. So why are you so carnal to say you're following anybody but God? These are the servants that gave you the information, got you saved, and watered you. And who is it that increases you? That I cannot do. So then he said in 7, neither he that planteth anything will thank you very much. Have I been hurt or was I insulted or what? So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Well then who is the thing? I'm just fulfilling my call. I'm just part of this thing. The increase only comes from God. Yes. Quit feeding your body, it'll die. Quit feeding your spirit. It won't die. It's self-existing and eternal. But it'll quit growing. You can enter heaven the same way you were the day you were born again. And that's what usually happens when you follow men and they give you no increase. Are you carnal or what? Of course you're not. You're here. Hallelujah! Glory be to God forever. Maybe 2 millennials at the end of that for good measure.